This is Cross Currents. I'm Ben Trefney. Pro golf can cost a lot of money. You need sponsors. When Todd Fisher was an aspiring amateur, one of his benefactors was John Abendroth. Abendroth, who briefly played on the PGA Tour himself, is a member of the Olympic Club, where this year's U.S. Open is being contested. It's the nation's oldest athletic club, founded in 1860. Abendroth has been a member since 1967. That's 45 years, and now he's the media chair for the Open. I joined him at the venerable space a few weeks ago for a behind-the-scenes look at the Olympic Club as it was being prepared, even transformed, for golf's national championship.
Yeah, welcome to the Olympic Club. We're kind of a bird's-eye view. We're above the 8th green down to our left, and over to the right is the 18th green. This will probably be the most crowded area during the U.S. Open Championship. We've got some maintenance workers that are working on the 7th green here. We've got ESPN's TV studio that's being built. You can see some kind of sound effects. They're building in some plywood around it. A lot of activity out here, and this is actually, we're here on one of the last days that the members are allowed to play the golf course.
All right, so where are we going to go from here, from our perch overlooking the course with Lake Merced beyond that? And if we could see past the hill, we'd be looking at downtown about a little bit to our left here.
Exactly right. Well, we'll take a little ride around the golf course and give you a little view with without Tiger Woods here yet. And it'll be easier to move around today without the gallery here as well.
All right. Sounds good. Let's go.
The Ocean Golf Course. We have two 18-hole golf courses and a 9-hole golf course here at Olympic. And the Ocean Golf Course is where a lot of the infrastructure is laid out for the championship. We're just driving by the media tent, which is going to have about 1,000 media credentialed people. And this is the fourth fairway here on the Ocean Golf Course, which now looks like a shipyard storage area. You've got containers, you've got trucks, there's gravel laid out, there's a tarp laid on the grass, and then all the roadbed is put on top.
This is practically unbelievable to think we're on a golf course right now, and there are all these temporary trailer facilities and so many stacks of building materials, and we're on a gravel road, and this is actually supposed to be a fairway or something.
Exactly right, and it becomes a choice for the USGA where they have a championship of this size now, that they almost need to pick a facility that either has like a large fairground next to it, or in this case, another golf course, because it's just that much infrastructure that needs to happen. Over our right here looks like a UPS yard where they'd store all their trucks. Well, this happens to be the merchandise area. The merchandise tent is about 32,000 square feet. Here's a good number for you. Their goal for the week is to sell 100,000 hats. And that's a kind of a wild number. So
100,000 hats, that's, say, $20 a hat, maybe $25 a hat. So that's, I guess it would be $2 million, $2.5 million worth of hats, maybe. So if the hats themselves are worth about $2.5 million, how big overall do you think this operation is dollar-wise? Do you have any idea? It seems like it must be astronomical.
Well, it's actually a number they don't like to talk about, so just imagine it's a pretty strong number. So,
yeah. All right.
So let's take a walk. This is kind of the grand entrance where transportation and parking is really a huge thing. Candlestick Park is the main parking area for the public. They're going to have about 150 buses running at any time that will run from both BART is a major area, as well as from Candlestick, and you'll come in through a grand entrance. So we're right now at the main entrance point, and kind of cool, they don't just have an area that you walk through. There's architects who looked at the downtown Olympic Club building, which has been there for over 150 years, and they took some architectural features from that to design the grand entrance.
There are actually masons up there.
Exactly. So you'll have all the folks come through here.
You don't actually often see people building a brick wall, a temporary brick wall.
Yeah, exactly right.
I'm really stunned by these surfaces we're walking on. Right now we're on a plyboard surface, but if you continue down, then it's got some sort of outdoor carpeting.
Yeah.
And it's all perfectly flat, but we're on really hilly ground right now. We're basically on a parkland hillside, but they've built huge flat surfaces for walking areas, and they're all leveled out. That must have taken a lot of engineering.
Yeah, this is a golf hole that we're on where you can see there's a bunker right down here. The third green is right behind us here. And they've literally built these wood platforms to be level rather than having folks, you know, walk, you know, the fairway areas. So
this is incredible. They're building a city.
Well, it's a small city. It's exactly what it's been referred to. And what's really unique, they've had a great opportunity to hire a lot of local carpenters and other employees here because of, you know, how the economy has been. And they've really gotten some great quality of work. They say higher quality work than they normally would get in other cities. So I think a lot of the temporary workers here have had a great experience and a great job opportunity.
How important is that corporate presence here at an event like this?
Well, it's a big presence. The USGA now has what they call partners. There's four corporations, I believe it is, that have official partnerships. And as that year-long partnership goes on, they have the rights to, you know, bring guests to the course. Lexus, for example, is the official vehicle, and they have courtesy cars for all the players. And the way the USGA looks at this is that they have 13 national championships they hold. They have a girls' junior championship, which is actually at Lake Merced this summer. They have a boys' championship. They have a men's senior amateur, a women's senior amateur. So 13 major championships. The U.S. Open is the one that funds all of those things, and research for the game, research for equipment, and is their tagline for the good of the game. So the U.S. Open is a one-week activity that funds all that activity, and they do the handicapping for the entire game of golf and many, many other things. So this whole thing and the corporations and the TV contracts are really what funds all of this. So it's a big deal.
That's John Abendroth. He's a longtime member of the Olympic Club, giving me a tour here of the site where the U.S. Open is about to be played.
Let's see, I think we can get through this way. Yeah. And then here's the first tee where, they will start. It's a normally a par 5 that's been converted to a par 4. And it's said that the first six holes are going to be the toughest starting holes in USGA history. And so it'll be a really a major challenge.
This is kind of a slightly narrow shoot off the tee box because you have some trees that are really framing it. If somebody's a big right to left or left to right hitter, they might have to think about that.
Yeah, and this is kind of a moderate shoot. I'll show you a couple others that are, there's one hole that a couple members have nicknamed the hallway. Very, very narrow, and that's really a feature that the Olympic Club has been known for over the years. We've got a lot of these really grand cypress trees that border a lot of the holes. So we're now crossing over. This is the second fairway.
And this is just a series of terraces we're looking down here. As we go from number one, which is kind of at the top of the hill for the lake course, and we're crossing fairways and roughs here. We're just going down hills across flat down. It's like rice paddy fields in Thailand or something.
Yeah, yeah. It's really a fun terrain.
There are a lot of porta potties out here.
Well, with about 35 to 40,000 people out here, porta potties is going to become a kind of a necessity, if you know what I mean. And I'll show you a couple that are kind of the upgraded porta potties that they have for some of the corporate areas. They're sort of the Cadillac. It's sort of a trailer with a couple of restrooms.
The Lexus of porta potties.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. I don't know if the porta potty company is a sponsor, but I bet they'd like to be.
Well, I'm sure they would like to be the provider. I mean, that's a lot of business.
Right, exactly. So we're standing on the 16th hole, and this is the longest golf hole in USGA history, U.S. Open history. It's 670 yards.
And that is a chute we're looking down here for that first shot.
Yeah, this is a real chute here, and this tee was devised fairly late in the game, where normally the hole plays at 609, and then there's another tee marker that was built at about 620 yards. But Mike Davis, who is the executive director of the United States Golf Association and the head of the setup of the Open, he felt he wanted to lengthen this hole because the last five holes are potentially relatively short holes. So he wanted to put a little bit more mustard into this hole. But he wants it to be exciting and fun, and he is more of what they call a player-friendly official. The players like what he's doing, so that's a good thing.